water turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. And out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Water you turn into wine. The blind, there's no one like you. There's none like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then what could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God.
Says celebrate this morning. That's what he's been speaking to me all week about. Just celebrate, you guys. Just celebrate who he is this morning.
Name Jesus, Jesus. Thank you. He'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. And when you walk into the starts to vanish, every hopeless situation ceases to exist. And when you walk into the room, the dead begins to rise, cause there is resurrection life in all you do. We love you. And we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. 'Cause we love you. We can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. Oh. Consumed by all we are, we give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come and consume, God. All we are, we give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. 'Cause we love you. And we'll never stop.
Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming.
Heaven is coming.
All over this The Lord is here. Whatever your need may be, come to the altar. Leave it here. The Lord is here with us. We need a move. We need a move in our community, in our state, in our country. Hallelujah. Now is the time to petition for our community. Whatever your need may be, whether it be a financial burden, a health burden, whatever it is, the Lord is here. There's no reason for you to leave with what you came in with. Now is the time. In Joel 2, when I was reading some scripture this morning, it says, this is after he sent the plagues of locusts. I will pour my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on servants, men and women alike. And I will cause wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and terrible day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For some on Mount Zion and Jerusalem will escape, just as the Lord has said. Not only if you call on him will you be saved, he will meet every need that you have. Thank you, Lord, for meeting us here, for meeting every single need that we have, no matter what it is, Lord. I thank you for meeting us here. Lord, I thank you for this church, the community, our church people, Lord, that we call upon each other in times of need, that we pray for each other, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this community that we have. In Jesus' name. Well, welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. If we have any first-time guests, you can meet Pastor Wallace and Joy in the foyer after service. So what does Scripture say about giving and saving? In the Bible, there's over 2,300 scriptures about money. That's more than heaven and hell combined. So in Mark 12, it says, "We meet the poor widow who gave two small coins in the temple treasury as her offering." And verse 42, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of poverty, has put everything she had and all she had to live on." The widow is considered one of the greatest givers in Scripture. We know God wants us to be cheerful and generous givers, so should we also give all we have? The principle we learn from the widow is that the condition of her heart was right. She knew Jesus was worthy of everything she had. She teaches us the right attitude and the motives for giving. She didn't give all she had out of obligation, but love, honor, and reverence. God commanding the widow's action does not make her more righteous. He used her pure heart to point out the hardened hearts of the Pharisees and to encourage all the givers of the world that with the right attitude, any gift matters greatly in God's kingdom. But she was not more righteous. Only the grace of God makes her or you or me righteous in His eyes. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each person here that you have given them careers, jobs. It might not be where they want to be in their goals, but Lord, we thank you that your supply for our bills, for our pleasure, Lord, but for us to give our 10% back to you. So we just thank you again for all that you have given to us as we give back to you. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. It's offering time, y'all. Facilitator for Celebrate Recovery, and I need to honor Deb Castell. Would you come forward? So I've had the pleasure of teaching Deb, working alongside Deb, talking with Deb for the past year, and she has earned her one-year chip of being sober.
Thank you, everyone.
Congratulations again, Deb.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the lives of your people. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Deb, for just submitting yourself to leadership and especially to God's Holy Spirit. Paul said he teaches us to say no. Come on. Amen. Teaches us to say no to ungodly things. And I encourage those of you who are listening online or even in the building today, maybe you're strapped with some vice in your life that you'd like to get rid of. Celebrate Recovery is not just for drugs. It's for any life-controlling issue that you may be struggling with. I'd be remiss today if I didn't just call your attention to pray. For many years, Craig White attended this church here at Carpenter Shop. Craig's a wonderful guy, and he was probably criticized as he was probably on the break of finding an online bride when it wasn't even popular. And he's been married for many, many years. Guess where he found his wife? In the Ukraine. And so he's sending a message to his parents this morning that his parents sent on over to me. Mama, I ask that you tell your church to pray for the people of Sheneviv, where Elena grew up. That's his wife. Her family can't get out today. The Russians have been bombing the city for days with planes and missiles. Now they have surrounded it and will rain down artillery until there's not a single building left, killing thousands of people. This is from the Soviet playbook. I can't believe the world is going to stand by and let this happen. They say we are giving arms to Ukraine, but they're really not. It's just words to quiet the people who sit back and watch it on television. God help us. God help us. You know, I don't know if I trust that whole process or not either. You don't know what to believe. You really don't know what to believe, but we do know this, that Russia has no reason. Here's an unprovoked response, and now thousands and thousands of people are dying every day. And so, Father in heaven, we just petition you today. Lord, we thank you that this prayer is not just to a group of people in a hosky, but that just in hours, Lord, 182 nations of the earth will hear this prayer. And Lord, I pray that your word that says if one can put 1,000 to flight, that two can put 10,000 to flight. That people would join together and lift up the Ukrainian people. And God, resolve would come. And Lord, we thank you that before our very eyes, you're unfolding the truths of your word. Yes, yes. That this is not an accident where we are where we are right now. Lord, Ezekiel 38 is unfolding in front of our eyes, page by page, moment by moment. And so we're asking you, God, as the stage is set, would you just continue to be glorified in all that you are and all that you do? Lord, spare the Ukrainian people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give the Lord praise, would you? I'm asked questions every week of my life, you know, Pastor, what does this mean? What does that mean? What does the other thing mean? I can tell you this, if you go back and read Ezekiel 38, Ezekiel 38 talks about Russia. No, you may not read Putin's name, and you may not even read the word Russia, but things will happen as we move forward, and you keep your eyes on Iran, you keep your eyes on Russia, you keep your eyes on China. They're going to team up one of these days, and this little spot on the map that is called Israel is going to be attacked. By shocking surprise, they're going to be attacked. And, you know, these things must come to pass. And, you know, you need to hold your head up because your redemption draws nigh. Amen? It draws nigh. So we bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for an online audience. Thank you guys for joining us. I just got a question for you this morning. Who's your daddy? Come on. Come on. Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? We begin a series today entitled, Who's Your Daddy? And we are concentrating in the month of March on the names of God. The names of God. We'll take a look this entire month at various names of God. We're not going to go through them all, but we're going to hit at least four, I promise you. Names reveal the nature of God. Names reveal the character of God. It's often in the Bible that God's name will manifest the truth about his nature and his character that is not only seen, listen to me, it's not only seen as a reality for the people of the biblical days, but it also releases the truth that we can be comforted and encouraged that the same is true for us. When God reveals his nature in a biblical way, he's revealing his nature and his character toward his children. Who's your daddy? We are also God's children. Now, you've heard me say this before. Not everybody's God's children. I've heard people say that before. Oh, you know, because we all God's children. That's a lie. We're not all God's children. We are all God's creation. Amen. But you don't become a child of God. He don't become your father until you are adopted into his family because of the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. You're adopted. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, I didn't know you were adopted. Come on. You're adopted. Amen. You're just a shoot off the root. Come on, somebody. You're adopted. We're God's children. And if God did it for them in the Bible, guess what? He will do it for you. Today we ask the question, who's your daddy? We're encouraged to know that his name is El Shaddai. Come on. El Shaddai. That name of God that appears 48 times in the Bible, 7 times in the Old Testament, El Shaddai is translated God Almighty. God Almighty. It's a two-word combination. El, E-L, meaning what? God. Shaddai comes from the word shad, which literally means the breast. The breast. This word refers to the, here we go, the complete nourishing, the complete satisfying, the complete supplying God's people with all of their needs. Come on. God meets how many of your needs? All of your needs. There were people praying here just a moment ago at the altar, asking God, pouring out their petitions to God because there were needs. I just thank God that I was able to stand in front of someone who struggled in their kidneys. Diane, would you please stand up right now? Diane struggled in her kidneys, been in the hospital, having challenges. Guess what? This is not God's will. It's not God's will that she struggles in her kidneys. So lift your hands right where you are. God, would you complete that work? Lord, we bind together our hearts today. We bind together our prayers today. We curse this kidney disease in Jesus' name, God. We thank you, God, that the fluids in her body will flow as you designed them in the name of Jesus, because you are El Shaddai. You are the one who provides the nurture, the care, everything that she needs, God, to have healthy kidneys, as she had when she was born into this world. In the name of Jesus, God, we proclaim her healed today. Amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord praise. God is the one who does this. God says, listen, my name is El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. Nourish, satisfy, supply my people with all of their needs as a mother would her child. In the last 3 to 4 months, Pastor Joy and I have had the blessing of having 2 precious new grandbabies. I got a chance to hang out with Eli last night. Eli's got one little tooth in the bottom of his head, and he will bite you, man. He's got one little tooth come through there, and you just love to put your finger in there and feel that thing. You know, he just clamps down on you. Oh, watch out, Eli. Eli's got a tooth. But you know what? Eli got to where he is right now. The nourishment is coming and the calcium is fortified and the teeth are coming into place and he's snotting and drooling and gnawing and chewing on all of his little toys. If you give him anything, Uncle Zach gave him his cell phone last night and his cell phone went straight to Eli's mouth, okay? I'm going to chew on this screen, all right? And he's being nourished. Overnight, these little babies, Cleo and Eli, have sprung up, wearing their little onesies, then on to the 3 months, and then on to the 6 months, and they're growing like weeds, as we say. Why? Because every 3 hours, it's time for milkies, okay? And mama takes the blanket and puts it over her breast, no matter where we are, and he's under there, you know, just secluded from the society and secluded from the world. And what is he doing? He's getting a hold of some El Shaddai. Come on. El Shaddai. Shad. God says, my name is El Shaddai. Shad, a word in the Hebrew that means to nurture. It comes from the breast. And God is releasing everything. Come on, somebody say everything. God is releasing everything we need, you know, because God is nursing you with peace and joy and satisfaction and contentment and provision and finance and blessing and watching over you. God is releasing all that from Him to you. It's such a beautiful thing. Mom has shed forth in these cases of the babies all that is needed. That's exactly what the picture here that is displayed in this powerful name, El Shaddai, the Father who sheds forth all that is needed for His children. He's the one who provides the nurture for you. He's the one who provides the satisfaction for you. He's the one who supplies all that you need. And not just what is needed, more than what is needed. In fact, scholars are saying that the word El Shaddai means all-sufficient one. In fact, some scholars say it means more than enough. God just doesn't give you enough. He gives you more than enough. And the first time this word appears in the Bible, it shows up in the life of Abram. In Genesis chapter 17, when Abram was 99, somebody say 99. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, listen to what he says, I am who? I'm El Shaddai. I'm God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then he says, this is a conditional blessing here. It's when you walk before God faithfully and are blameless, then you position yourself to receive. I know some people that will sit when you talk about the blessings of God, say, huh, I've been in the church all my life. I ain't driving no car like that. Now listen, what are you doing? What position have you taken? Are you faithful? Okay? Are you faithful? Are you walking in a faithful and blameless fashion? Because some of God's promises, listen, He's not just throwing it out there. Some of His promises are conditional. If you will, then God says what? Then I will. All right? If you bring the tithes and the offerings into the storehouse, then is when I will throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Okay? Some of us dollar God to death, $10. You know, you brought home $2,000 in your family last week and dropped $10 in the plate this morning. You're robbing God. You took a gun out and said, hands up! I'm keeping that portion. That's robbing God. God is a conditional God. So he says, I'm God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully. Be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you. And you'll greatly increase in your numbers. This is a promise that God registers with Abraham, a man who became known as the father of many nations, the father of the faith. And here we have God speaking that over Abraham. And he said, I will greatly increase your numbers. Now the problem is, Abram is an old man. Okay? You're not thinking about babies at 99. Come on. You're not. The Bible says in Genesis 17:17 that Abraham falls face down and he laughed. He's laughing. God, are you serious? Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? You see, the clincher here is this. Genesis 17:1 says Abraham is 99, but God comes on the scene and appears to him and says, listen to what I say. I am El Shaddai. I am the one who sheds forth. I am the one who nurtures. I'm the one who supplies. I'm God Almighty. I'm more than enough. I'm all sufficient. In other words, it's my character, Abram, not yours. It's my nature, Abram, not yours. My nature, my abilities, not yours. And because of this, you will bear a son, catch this, through Sarah. Okay? Why do you say that, Pastor? Because he was saying to him, you know, Doc, I don't need your help this time. I don't need your help this time. If you know the story, Abraham and Sarah got a little restless. Sarah speaks up and says, hey, this isn't working too well. I'm not pregnant. I got a young girl over here. Hagar, come here, girl. And brings Hagar, another woman, on the scene. And Abraham has relations with her, and God granted a son. And his name is what? Ishmael. Thank you for the ministry of Islam and the Muslim religion. That's where it came from. And God's not slack concerning His promises. He releases God. Listen, can I just tell you something? Chew on this with your theological brain for a while. All of the oil in the world. Come and listen to my story about a man named Jed. Poor mountaineer, but kept his family fed. Then one day, he's firing his gun out there and boom, up from the ground come a bubbling through. Texas tea. Oil. All of the oil in the earth. You know what is it, what was it was intended for? Not just to use, but to supply the funds to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. Instead, you know what it's spreading? It's spreading Islam, who declared 3 years ago, United States will be a Muslim nation. They're spreading. Yesterday, I had occasion to eat a meal with my son, Zachary, 29 years old. We all met at Bettini's in Greenville. And I noticed in Bettini's, I like Mediterranean food. Mediterranean food, you know, lamb kebabs and all those wonderful things the Mediterranean people eat. So we had some lamb kebabs. And when we got ready to leave, I walked over to the door, and there's a huge rack. And it is loaded down with the Holy Quran, free copy. All you have to do is pick it up. How many restaurants do you go in today that's loaded down with 100 Bibles sitting there where we're giving away the Word of God in our restaurants? Not many, are they? But they're giving away the Quran. They're giving away the Holy Quran. You want a little tip on how to reach a Muslim? I've done it before in a little minivan heading on the King's Highway from Amman, Jordan, all the way up to Petra. Stopped by a convenience store, got a bottle of water and a piece of bread. And I thought, God, I got a Muslim driver. There's three of us in here, the only three that wanted to go to Petra. How do I minister to this Muslim? How do I tell this Muslim about Jesus? I got 5 hours on a bumpy pothole road. How do I tell this man about Jesus? So I purchased a Holy Quran, $3. Holy Quran, I picked it up. I got back in the bus and I said, hey, I got me a copy of your holy book. He looked at me like, what? I said, yeah, I bought me a Quran. I said, did you know that the Quran makes a statement about Jesus? He said, I don't know. I said, the Quran says, and I showed it to him, the Quran states that Jesus was a prophet sent from God, and he was a good man. He said, yes, I think I've read that. I said, have you ever read what Jesus said? If he was so prophetic and he was such a good man, have you ever read what Jesus said? He said, no. I said, thanks to the Gideons, here's a copy of the New Testament. Read the Gospel of John, and you'll discover what the holy man said, okay? All right. Listen, you can minister to a Muslim, okay? Just tell him, don't forget this. Are you listening this to the world, okay? Tell a Muslim that the Bible says that Jesus was a prophet and he was a good man. And if you want to know what Jesus said, you have to read the Bible. So you read the Bible and Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one, okay? So, you know, I was amazed that I come out of this restaurant and the whole thing is just stacked with Quran. And they're giving them away. Here we are enjoying the Mediterranean diet. And here we are in a story from the Mediterranean area. In Genesis chapter 12, look at what it says, verse 1 and 3. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you, and I will make you, Abram, into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Abraham is 75 when God released this call upon his life and this promise to him. And God also tells him that he and Sarah, they would bear a son. But Sarah becomes frustrated after several years, and she convinced Abram that they needed some help. You know, God needs a little help here to fulfill his promises. So she helped by allowing Abraham to have relations with Hagar, and so we have Ishmael. And the point of that, beloved, is this. God is not slack concerning his promises. When the child came, God released blessings unto Ishmael. Okay? And so here we have the battle of the two religions, Christianity and Islam. It's a spiritual battle. God, when God promises his promises, he's not going to hold them back. We may not fully grasp what he says he will do, but the moral of this story in the book of Genesis here is God doesn't need your help in fulfilling his promises on your life. He only needs your obedience. Come on, give the Lord praise today. He only needs your obedience. That's it. Just simply submit yourself to God and obey Him. Why? Because He's El Shaddai. He's more than enough for any circumstance. He can shed forth His blessings on my life. Some of you are here today and you feel quite backed into the corner. God hasn't delivered yet. God hasn't saved your son yet. God hasn't given you your husband, bless God, yet. God hasn't given you your wife yet. He hasn't healed you yet. God hasn't yet. But can I tell you something? He's not slack concerning His promises. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack in keeping His promise, as some understand slackness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come into repentance. In the context of that, He's talking about salvation. But can I just borrow that in application today and say, I know that God has never failed me. He's never let me down. He's never held back His blessings from me. Why? Because He's El Shaddai, the one who pours forth like a mom from the breast, releases the colostrum and the milk and the nurture that the child needs to grow up and be like this. Amen? I started out with 5 pounds in a crib. My mom said, "You look like a refugee child. Eyes roll back in your head. Something's wrong with you." And I was a pipsqueak for a long time. But God saw fit that I grew up around a country store with 2-for-a-penny cookie and all the hoop cheese I could eat, because He's El Shaddai. Come on, somebody. Amen. God gives you more than enough. Amen. Now I got too much and I'm trying to get rid of some of it. Anybody want some fat? I'll let you have some, okay? Listen, God is more than enough. He's El Shaddai. He's more than enough. Be careful, be careful, be careful. Because oftentimes we have a tendency to turn to ourselves to solve the problems. To turn in, when really what we need to be doing is turning in faith to an all-powerful, all-sufficient God, because He's the only way out. We need to call upon El Shaddai. Psalms chapter 91. Man, this will bless your socks off. Psalms 91. I chose the New Living Translation today. Just check out what it says here. It just ministered to me so powerfully this week in my reading. I want you to just listen to what it says. Those who live. See, this is the condition. What's the condition here? This is for those who live under the shadow of the Almighty. This is not for everybody. This is not for just every human being. This is for those who live in the shelter of the Most High, in relationship with God, tucked under His bosom, right underneath His breast. This is for those who find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust Him, for He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. It was funny. I ran into a young lady at Walmart this week, and she's coming across the parking lot, kind of, you know, we're in triangular formation here. I'm coming from this way. She's coming from that way. She cries out, "Hey, Pastor Wallace." And she says, "Listen, I don't have this mask on because I'm scared of COVID. I didn't have time to put makeup on today." I said, "Okay, whatever. All right." So, you know, you ladies, now you got an easy way out, okay? You can say, "I got to run to Walmart. Where's my mask?" Okay. One thing COVID has done is made it okay to cover up your face, all right? He says, "I will protect you from every deadly disease. He will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings. His faithful promises with your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday." The news about COVID is going to get less and less and less and less and less. Why? Because we've got Ukrainian news to fill our ears now. So now they're saying, it seems like the numbers are going way down. You know, they're going to give you good news now about COVID, when all they wanted to do for the last 2 years is scare you to death. Now it's all about the Ukraine. Okay? Please don't sit home at night and watch the TV. Okay? You got TBN. You've got the church channel. You've got all kinds of, you got worship. You can go to your YouTube on your television and pull down Maverick City or whatever you want and just worship God. Don't listen to this world, because this world gives you a lie. This world gives you the wrong report. They give you what they want you to hear. Okay? They give you what they want you to hear. He says, don't be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies by the day. Do not dread that disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample on lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, God says what? I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Thank God for the salvation that we find in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that angels encamp around about those who love and fear the Lord. God is with us. He's El Shaddai. He's releasing like a mother from her breast, releasing everything that you need. You ought to just thank him that he's El Shaddai in your life today. Hallelujah. This is the description of El Shaddai. Who's your daddy? Who's your father? Whose shadow are you sitting under? You're under the shadow of the Almighty. I always read this psalm and I always think about the lady who was a brand new convert. And, she, you know, the pastor had told her, listen, you need to read scripture and memorize promises to you. And they were studying in the Psalms on a Wednesday night. And he said, listen, you need to memorize this. He that dwelleth in the secret hiding place shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my fortress, my shelter. In him will I trust. And he will cover you with his feathers. And she just remembered that. The Lord is covering me with his feathers. And as fate would have it, she was going to work and she had to go down the dark alleyway where she parked her car after the store closed. And she could feel someone's presence. You know how you can feel someone looking at you? So she turned around and all of a sudden two big brute of guys came to her and began to snatch her purse. And she just jumped up and down and said, I'm covered with feathers. I'm covered with feathers. I'm covered with feathers. And they said, lady, you're a nut. And they ran the other way. They ran the other way. She didn't know how to get Psalm 91 out of her mouth properly, but she knew the Bible said, I'm covered with his feathers. So she just started shouting like a chicken. Come on, somebody. She got the blessing that she needed. You may not know it word for word, but you need to know his promises. He's El Shaddai. Who's your daddy? He's El Shaddai. Let's express our faith in El Shaddai today, the one who nurtures us. The one who satisfies us, the one who supplies all that is needed in our lives, and not just what is needed, but more than what is needed. You know, today we gather, as you came in today, if you don't have an element here for communion, just raise your hand and maybe someone will serve you here. Wesley's got some communion elements. If you don't have one, please just raise your hand until you get one. Praise God. May the word quicken your heart today to just remind you that he's El Shaddai. You know, spend the day as you go throughout the day. Just God, I just thank you that you're El Shaddai today. I thank you that I'm connected to you. And as a child would nurse, Lord, I nurse from you. I receive from you all that I need. Fill me up, Lord. Cause me to grow. Cause me to develop. Cause me to be the man, the woman of God that you've called me to be. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, the Bible says he took bread and he broke it. You know, I've been to that upper room before. I've been to those places in Jerusalem where Jesus and his disciples gathered. And, you know, it was a regular thing for them to share Passover together. But this time it was different. It was different. Your bread is on the bottom here. They just open it up and Take that little wafer in your hand. Can you imagine sitting around the table that night? Jesus had been through Passover with them so many times. But this night, the story was different. The story was different. He didn't go through the Old Testament ritual. He didn't go through the lamb on the doorpost. He didn't go through that. He takes the bread and he says, "This is my body." Prophetically speaking, he's letting them know, "This is my body," which he says is broken for you. You know, listen, some of you may say, "Well, you know what, I picked this thing up today, and man, I don't know if I need to be taking this or not." You know who this is for? This is for people who place their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. "Well, you know, I got in an argument yesterday and I cussed at my wife." How many of y'all know that probably happens at some of the carpenter shop people? A husband cusses at his wife. Or a wife cusses at her husband. "I know it does because I heard one of you." Nah, I'm not messing up. I'm just saying, you know what? We're a room full of imperfect people. So when you take the Lord's Supper, you don't sit there and come up with 9 good reasons why you shouldn't take it. Let me just give you one reason why you should. Because he said, you need to do this often. And you know, I'm not unaware of the issue of examining yourselves, because when the Corinthian church, he was talking to a people that, well, they came together, was like, you know, you turned this thing, man, into a pig in here. Y'all are partying and carrying on. And that's not what this is for. He said, your lives are not matching up to what it's supposed to be. So he says, let a man examine himself. If you've ever been to one of my funerals, you've heard Pastor Wallace say this. Every time I do a funeral, I think about my life. I become a better Christian every time I bury somebody, because I evaluate my life. I check the inventory about how I'm behaving, what I'm saying, what I'm thinking. And all of a sudden, I kind of tighten up. Somebody say tighten up. When I marry somebody, I become a much nicer husband, because I've just watched a couple make a commitment to each other. And when I dedicate somebody's child, I become the father of all fathers. I'm just a good dad. And so when you take communion, you know what should happen? You should examine yourself. And there are issues in the lives of every one of us that are here today. And so this is a good time before we take it to say, "Lord, I just come to you today. I just want to come clean. I've been a jerk." And the Lord says, "I noticed that." Okay, no, he doesn't. He doesn't agree with you. He receives your repentance. Okay, so it's a good time for us to examine our hearts. And it says he took bread and he broke it, and then he blessed it. So Father, I thank you today that you've allowed us to come into this holy place, Lord, and worship you. And I thank you for this bread that represents your body that hung on this tree, broken for us. You received so many wounds and bruises and lacerations. You were broken for us. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of sinful things in my life. I commit my life to you today, afresh and anew. You can just pray it just like I pray it. I just give you myself today, God, all over again. And I thank you, Lord, for salvation that you have allowed me to have, even though I know I don't deserve it. But that's what grace is. And I thank you, Lord. One songwriter who's had kind of a popular song says it's amazing. And so I thank you for your amazing grace that gives me your riches at the expense of your life. God's riches at Christ's expense. You give me grace. And I thank you for that grace in Jesus' name. Amen. You can partake of the bread together. Then there's the cup. The Bible says, in like manner, he took the cup also, saying, he said to those guys that night, this is the new covenant in my blood. The new covenant in my blood. Blood was required for the forgiveness of sin. Hebrews 9:22, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. King James, forgiveness, NIV. There's no forgiveness if there's not shedding of blood. That's why when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they run naked into the bushes ashamed. And they grabbed some leaves, Under Armour, FUBU, Jordache, all those names, you know? Now, fig. They were wearing fig those days. They grabbed some fig leaves, big leaves, and covered themselves, you know? Down here, tucked away, hiding. And the Bible says the Lord God comes walking through the garden in the cool of the day. Adam! Adam, where are you? Not geographically. God didn't need any help. He's the, you know, they call it a GPS, a global positioning system. But it's a godly positioning system. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And so he didn't need any help discovering where they were. He was asking Adam, where are you? He was asking Adam, where are you with the only rule I gave you? Do not eat from that tree. Where are you with that? And the Bible says the Lord God took an animal and slayed him. Now, if he slayed him, what happened? Blood fell out. There's the first picture in the Bible of why blood is required, because the fig leaves didn't do it. They didn't cover it. So he made coats of skins. Okay? Coats of skins. And they covered themselves. And that's an early picture, an Old Testament type of God's great redemption through blood. And so today you have a little juice, okay? This isn't Mad Dog 2020, okay? Hold yourself steady. This is just grape juice. But it is a symbol. See, there's no power in this juice. There's no power in the bread you just ate. We don't believe in transubstantiation, where it literally turns, you know. We don't believe that. Good theological discussion, right? We believe that this is not a sacrament. This is an ordinance. This points back to a biblical truth. So it is a symbol. The fruit of the vine is a symbol of the blood. And we're reminded to do this when we come. He says, in like manner, he took the cup and he gave thanks. So, Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus that is able to cleanse us, that was able to deal with any sin that we have in our life. Somebody just needs to just repent right now. You're struggling. You're just saying, you know what? God, I just need it all. My wife and I were talking about this yesterday. All in. All in. 100%. That's what we want from the people. 100%. I'm in. I'm all in. Say, God, thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins. Today we take it with a fresh reminder that you shed your blood on the cross, and that cross is sufficient. That blood is sufficient for my sins, past, present, and future. I thank you for it in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Would you partake of the cup together? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Isn't it neat how the body of Christ has come up with convenient store communion? Come on. Isn't that neat? This is a blessing. It's easy. We don't do it like that every time, but it's very easy. Don't have to worry about the plates today. But thank you, Lord, for just the representation of you are El Shaddai in my life. And I make a fresh commitment to you today. Don't you feel better? Come on. How many of y'all feel better today? Come on, give the Lord praise today. So let's just stand together, and as you prepare to leave today, just give honor and glory to God and thank Him for being El Shaddai in your life. And if you're here today, listen, we don't want to miss this. If you're here today and you need special prayer, you're here today and there's an illness in your body or a sickness in your body or maybe a struggle you're facing emotionally, relationally, or maybe there's a financial concern and you're weighted down with the pressures of something that's going on in your life and you just need somebody to agree with you. Would you just slip out of your seat right now? I promise you someone will meet you and pray with you. There you go. Just come on. Meet you and pray with you and encourage you. God is able to do it, folks. He's able to do it. Just come on down. Come on down. The altars are open. The ministers will come. Amen. Amen. Look at that. People just stepping out and receive from God. Some of you ministers, go ahead and move and let's minister to these people. If you're here today and you need a touch from God, please come. Please let someone anoint you and pray for you. Praise the Lord. Go ahead. Today. You don't have to cook. You don't have to go to a restaurant. You can just go to the back, the fellowship hall. They have a wonderful spaghetti dinner with salad and desserts, and all of that helps our fine arts coming up in the future. So support your young people today. It's just by donation, no set price. Just support them, would you? Go ahead.